Welcome to A Journey to Christmas. I am Pastor Jesse, and we at the First Baptist Church of South Plainfield invite you to take this time to reflect on why we celebrate Christmas, with messages, symbols, and the nativity guiding our way. Each stop has a separate audio description. When you hear this tune, please drive forward to the next stop. After you pass under the stars at the beginning of this journey, please dim your headlights to your running lights to fully enjoy the decorations and lights. After passing by the visual nativity, you'll have the opportunity to participate in a drive-through photo booth. We can provide you a printed copy or send you a text of the pictures if you provide a phone number, or both. This drive-through is provided for free as part of the ministry of First Baptist Church. If you would like to leave a donation towards our community missions in South Plainfield, you may leave one in the donation bucket near the photo stop and live animals, or online at facebook.com/FBCSP. You can also stay up to date with our church's events, once again at facebook.com/FBCSP. Now proceed forward, listening, watching, waiting, for Christ has been born, the light has come.
Too often we make the holiday season into a time for things that distract us from the true meaning of Christmas. The purpose of this journey is to focus on joyfully receiving the gift of God's love and sharing it with others. These are dark times, and the darkness seems to grow deeper each day. This year, Advent comes just when we need it most. For just as the darkness builds on the horizon, with each day bringing more troubling news, we can give thanks that we have entered the season of light. We learn in John 1, verse 5, that no matter how deep and frightening the darkness may seem, the light shines on in the dark, and the darkness has never overcome it. Join us on this journey to Christmas, to the birth of the one called the True Light, who came to bring his light to everyone in the world.
We begin our journey with hope. We look forward with hope to this season. Christian hope doesn't ignore fear, anxiety, and doubt. Instead, our Christian hope confronts them. We are called to hold steady in the midst of chaos. Through life's many treacherous storms, Christian hope is buoyed by something greater that has happened and something greater that is going to happen again. As we read in Romans 15, verse 13, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit.
As we trace the journey of God's people through the Old Testament, we see God's loving plan unfold. God walked lovingly with his people through their suffering, temptation, loss, and trial. And today, God continues to walk with us through our suffering, temptation, loss, and trial. God remains faithful even when we doubt and question and turn away. Nehemiah 9:17 tells us that God is ready to forgive, gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. John 3:16 tells us that God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have eternal life. As we journey toward Christmas, we are called to reflect God's love. The infant we celebrate on Christmas would grow up to remind us to love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind, and to love your neighbor as yourself. And so as we journey toward Christmas, let us ask how we can love God and our neighbor more joyfully so we might fulfill the call of Jesus.
As we continue our journey, we joyfully look forward to our celebration of Jesus' birth. Our joy is anchored in the knowledge that God fulfilled his promise to humanity. When we take time to reflect on what God has done for us and to offer him our very best in time, effort, skills, and gifts, the inevitable response is our soul is joy. The joy is different from feeling happy about our circumstances. Instead, it is a gladness and contentment that flows out of God's faithfulness, grace, and mercy. Our blessing for you this Advent season comes from Colossians 1, verse 12. May you be filled with joy, always thanking the Father. He has enabled you to share in the inheritance that belongs to His people who live in the light.
The Hebrew word for peace is shalom. This word occurs over 250 times in the Old Testament. Shalom means more than the lack of war or conflict. It refers to the wholeness and well-being of our individual lives and of all of God's creation. Through the lineage of Abraham, God promises to bless all of humanity. His covenant of peace promises a Savior. Isaiah speaks of this Savior in chapter 9, verse 6 and 7, saying, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And of the greatness of his government and peace there will be no end."
Our journey leads us next to the town of Nazareth, where a young maiden has a special visitor. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be barren is in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be as you have said."
Mary is not the only one with a special visitor. As we continue our journey, we learn of another angel visit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet, "The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife.
Let us travel now to Bethlehem, the town of David. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world, and everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child.
Quietly, we continue our journey to the manger. While they were there, The time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him in clothes and placed him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth.
As we leave the manger, we see shepherds out in the fields, along with an angel of the Lord. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were so afraid. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told.
After Jesus was born in Bethlehem, in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ was to be born. "In Bethlehem, in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and make a careful search for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me, so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother, Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and of incense and of myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route.
Our journey brings us to the star, the same one followed by the Magi. The Magi followed the light of the star to the stable in Bethlehem, where Jesus, the light of the world, lay in a manger. As we journey towards Christmas, may we focus our eyes, our minds, and our hearts on his light. For Jesus says, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me shall not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." May we remember that light shines in the darkness, and the darkness will never overcome it.
Wow, what an amazing journey we have taken so far. At this point, pull forward into the drive-through photo booth, and smile for some pictures. If you provide us a cell phone number, we will text the link to view, download, and share the pictures. If you do not wish to have your picture taken, please just let us know. Please pause this audio guide until you pass through the photo booth.
As the wise men got closer to Bethlehem and the birthplace of Jesus, they may have first encountered some animals. Perhaps they saw a donkey. Donkeys were a common mode of transportation in Bible times, and Mary may have ridden a gentle donkey into Bethlehem. The Bible tells us that shepherds visited the new Savior, so there may well have been sheep present near the stable. Sheep are also a very important symbol in our faith. Our Savior Jesus Christ is also known as both the Good Shepherd and the Lamb of God. Cattle became firmly associated with modern nativity scenes after the publication in the late 19th century of the beloved Christmas carol, Away in the Manger, and its phrase, "The cattle were lowing." And of course, we often picture the Magi riding camels, represented here by an alpaca. Although we don't know exactly what the place of Jesus' birth looked like, or if animals were actually present at his birth, many modern nativities incorporate animals.
Before you pass through and under the last leg of our journey, we have a giveaway for your car. Again, if you would like to leave a donation, we have a bucket on the side of the road at this time, or you may give online at facebook.com/FBCSP.
Angels, messengers sent by God, played an integral part in the role of the birth of Jesus. An angel of the Lord foretold Jesus' birth to Mary, and an angel reassured Joseph. A multitude of angels appear to the lowly shepherds with the good news of a Savior who has been born. And the shepherds responded to the angel's message by leaving their fields and seeking the baby Jesus. And then they returned, glorifying and praising God. How will you respond? Will you seek out the baby Jesus? Will you join the angels and the shepherds in praising God, saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men"?
Candy canes are the most prominent candy displayed this Christmas season. But did you know that the candy cane dates back to the beginning of the 17th century? Candy makers of all experience have contributed to what we know now as the red and white hook-shaped candy. This sugar stick was first all white. The red was added about 50 years later, along with the peppermint flavor. In the 1900s, the canes were then bent to make a J shape to remind us of Jesus. Legend says that the white represents the purity of Jesus' birth and his life. The red is for Jesus' blood. The J-shaped, turned around as you see them here, is also represented as a shepherd's crook. Jesus is our shepherd. Bells were and are still used today to signify the gathering of people to learn about the life and teachings of Jesus. During Christmas, let the bells ring in celebration of the Savior's birth.
What comes to mind when we think of caroling? We see bands of people dressed in shawls and top hats, traveling door to door, singing hymns to spread the Christmas spirit. The traditional Christmas carols we look forward to hearing and singing throughout the Christmas season date all the way back to the 4th and 5th centuries and were originally written in Latin. However, these were not associated with the celebration of Christmas until the 13th century, when some of these carols were sung at Christmas services. Through the years, carol singing in public gradually became popular, first with important local leaders, then with orchestras and choirs singing on Christmas Eve. As popularity increased, carol services with the singing of carols in the streets became a tradition. What are some of your favorite carols?
sparkling lights and sentimental ornaments. The Christmas tree has been a popular addition to our own traditions and decorations, with a train running around the bottom, or an angel on the top, or even some tinsel draping over the branches. The evergreen tree reminds us of our everlasting life with God.
The Nativity is probably one of the most recognizable symbols of the Christmas season and has been in use in some form or another since about the 4th century. The Nativity, or creche, includes a representation of Mary and Joseph around the crib of Jesus in the stable at Bethlehem. Sometimes we also find shepherds, wise men, a few animals, and an angel to watch over the infant Jesus and his family. Individual nativity scenes reflect the unique culture of the people who create them, and so may look somewhat different around the world. However, the creche, or nativity, also remains a symbol of our shared Christian faith. The nativity proclaims to the world that all people are welcome at the stable of Bethlehem. Our good shepherd has come. The Lamb of God is born. The true light, who gives light to everyone, has come into the world. Alleluia. Amen.
Thank you for joining us on this journey to Christmas. Christ's birth was remarkable, but the grace, forgiveness, and love he came to share is even greater. We hope that you and your family have a healthy and merry Christmas. May God grant you hope, love, joy, and peace today and forever. Amen.